Welcome to a Search Manufacturing ERP.com podcast. I'm Brenda Cole, Assistant Site Editor. Today, we'll be learning strategies and best practices for planning an MES and ERP integration project. To discuss this, we've called up Simon Jacobson, a Senior Research Analyst with AMR Research. Simon is responsible for AMR's coverage of manufacturing operations and ERP providers for the mid-market, and also covers manufacturing compliance and quality management, manufacturing services organizations, and MES providers. Thank you for joining us today, Simon.
Pleasure to be here.
Let's start with a question about the current state of MES ERP integration projects. Do you agree with people who say that the trend towards integration between MES and ERP has gone slower than expected? And if so, what do you think caused that, and is that delay over now?
I don't think that it has gone slower than expected. I think, if anything, discussions on ERP to MES integrations or ERP to manufacturing integration in general have those discussions have accelerated in recent years, I think largely due to a lot of organizations rediscovering manufacturing. And I think right now in a down economy, as companies start to think about their entire product supply networks and want to unearth that hidden capacity, they're going to want to look at how at manufacturing is integrated the rest of the enterprise. But I think it's been accelerated, not decelerated. The challenge, of course, is getting through that. When you look at these integrations, you start to really start to think about the worlds that need to collide here. Not only are you talking about individual plant IT and plant line of business personnel, but also corporate IT, especially as budgets start to become very centralized. These are all factors that start to play into that, which is accelerated. But while the debate's been accelerated, the actual follow-through is a bit challenging. Because, if you think about it, you can start blueprinting, in some cases, ERP to manufacturing integrations. And in some cases, you have to realize that in order to really capitalize on doing ERP to MES, you realize that your ERP deployment might be fundamentally flawed. So that forces you to take a step back. The other is, for a lot of companies that operate with very blended manufacturing environments, what they find is having the ERP data model doesn't really support the real detail or the realities of multiple manufacturing environments. So they need to drive these integrations. But, of course, what does that integration look like? It comes down to the core issue.
Great. So what are some of the benefits of integrating MES and ERP? What does the company need to do to make sure it attains those benefits?
I think the ultimate benefit that companies are going to get is, we always talk about it or hear companies talk about it as the real-time enterprise or shop floor to top floor. And, the essence of that is being able to have visibility into manufacturing at a time that's relevant to the business. And with that, it's a matter of understanding manufacturing's current capabilities, current capacity, current performance, so you can best start to make produced demand decisions. If you look at the trend that manufacturing organizations have done the past couple of years, it's establishing capacity in proximity to demand, but also in low-cost countries. And you think about the entire supply network that needs to support that, it comes down to a matter of how are you architecting your capabilities? And, of course, if you're going to do any of your sales and operations planning in ERP, manufacturing needs to be integrated as part of that. So that's one benefit. The other benefit is also from more of a materials traceability and even starting to peg customer orders and where they are in real time. So you can start to understand where within production things are, so you have visibility into work in process, or even start to understand where your inventory is based off the traceability data. The other piece is if you're using your ERP system to manage your suppliers and start managing, the procedural quality management aspects, the information coming out of manufacturing will be very essential for giving that full view of varying product and procedural quality. So there are benefits. The challenge what a company needs to do to make sure it attains these benefits, one is you need a pretty clear governance team. One is really having a centrally defined manufacturing strategy. And with that, it's having the appropriate team that's a blend, really, between corporate IT and line of business as well as manufacturing IT and line of business. If those traditional worlds can't come together, it takes very long to attain or really have any benefit visible.
So what type of manufacturing operation is the best candidate for integrating MES and ERP? Are there bad candidates for MES ERP integration?
I wouldn't say that there's bad candidates. I think we need to look at what I'd say are, essentially the challenges of, and what's been driving a lot of this thought is, in the past people have thought about or embarked on these plans to put ERP on the shop floor. And, there's really five hurdles here. One is it's a low-fidelity data model, where ERP is very materials and costing focused. And if you think about modeling complex processes, like exception handling, it becomes a challenge. You know, feasibly, you could develop your routings based off the bill of materials in ERP, but when you think about exception handling, splitting lots and recombining, you know, depending on your ERP application, it becomes pretty challenging. The second hurdle is really, you know, if you look where the ERP market's evolved to, is a lot of these applications are very mass market focused, so adding specialized functionality like catch weight can be a real challenge. And the third is, you know, the user interface. I mean, when you think about the people on the shop floor, dealing with a very complex ERP screen isn't really going to help them be efficient. You know, if it takes you 5 seconds to do a specific task or sign off on a standard, but 2 minutes to enter it in your ERP screen, you know, you're really not getting much of a benefit there. You know, if anything, those ERP interfaces are more for heads-down planners, and they have too many fields and screens. The fourth hurdle is, you know, there's really this lack of automated data collection integration. You know, whether it's complex scripting and interfacing to do that simple data collection, or simply a production environment that has a real high volume of data. You know, I work with one high-tech organization who tried putting their ERP application on the shop floor and said that the 10,000 lines of transaction that they generate per minute would essentially cripple the entire application. So, you know, you think about the synchronization with processes, especially real-time or very continuous batch environments, there's that challenge as well. The fifth is I call the fine stitching or the expensive integration and customization services. You know, it's extensive scripting and coding, constantly adding skills or adding fields. And, you know, I think about in some cases, you know, ABAP programmers, Java skills, even some SQL programming skills, you know, those are pretty expensive in this economy. And if your corporate IT department doesn't have them, it becomes a pretty big ask to find that from a third-party integrator who might not understand manufacturing.
So once you get started, who should be on your MES ERP integration team?
We're seeing the complexion of these teams change. Definitely corporate IT and manufacturing IT. Those two worlds, it's imperative for them to align. Oftentimes, you see corporate IT have one desire, but sometimes it doesn't take into effect what's really going on in the plants. We've seen companies largely consumer product companies are really the ones that where I'd say the best practice resides right now, is looking at centers of excellence or centrally defining the manufacturing strategy and IT's charter behind that. But, you know, the reality is you need to have your, especially in this day and age, you need to have your supply chain involved in this. I mean, so it's a supply chain line of business and IT that's going to support the supply chain. You know, just to give you a statistic, if you think about where companies are really think about their entire approach to manufacturing IT in general over the next couple of years, you know, right now, we did some survey work in the beginning of this year of 240 U.S. companies. Right as it stands today, only 40% of those companies have a centralized management of manufacturing IT, and that means that global production and manufacturing IT processes are standardized. Another 40% do it by region, which means the remaining groups here either don't have a governance body or do it in a very decentralized fashion. By 2011, 47% of these companies are going to have a very centralized global set of standardized processes. Instead of 40%, we're going to see 28% intend to have centralized or regional processes. And there's still going to be a lot of folks who either are decentralized or run with no manufacturing governance body. And I think, you know, we're going to see a real fall off in the market between companies that have no governance and companies that do have governance in terms of being able to really orchestrate manufacturing's response to demand across the entire fleet of assets the company owns.
How long does an MES ERP integration project generally take? How do you create a project timeline, and how expensive can these projects end up being?
I think these projects sometimes begin to be much more costly than anticipated, largely because companies don't think about some of the hidden costs here. I mean, you know, you look at some of the standards like S95, which largely I think give you a roadmap or at least a starting point to think about how these systems become integrated. I mean, you think about S95 standards specifically. It's basically a way to think about how you want to integrate manufacturing process flows across the business. It's a four-level way of thinking where, you know, largely you see in that production model, you know, ERP is the level four system, which is, you know, really not too too attached to the plant. Standards give you a very, you know, strong way of thinking about this. There's a lot of business process consulting or reengineering needs to accompany that. So I think a lot of times companies look at these integrations and simply think of it as, you know, a site-by-site piece, without thinking about the broader architecture. The other thing I think that gets in the way here is MES itself is not a one-size-fit-all proposition. and you have different manufacturing styles across different sites, and you have different ways or different MES systems that need to be integrated to ERP. So what are the appropriate touch points by site or by style of manufacture? And I think where a lot of companies struggle is they don't really establish what we call a point of sameness, which is essentially that boundary between the enterprise standard and where the individual site autonomy needs to be. And if that standard, if that point is reached in any direction, both sides on the enterprise and the plant fail to get any value. So I think, you know, companies that don't think about that point of sameness first and think about the information flows and think about what the business processes are versus, you know, the companies that don't think about those pieces first and decide to think about how we're going to force fit or build our architecture around the specific vendor or a specific integration point, whether it be, you know, end of test in the production line to the quality module. You know, those are the companies that really fail. Like companies that think about this from the perspective of what those information flows are, at what point we need to have consumption data going back into ERP, at where we need to think about more of the real-time data that syncs into the architecture. This is beyond MES. This is where you start to involve things like a data historian or even the analytics as well, where you start doing some of the process management and understanding. You know, those are companies that are a little more advanced. And again, though, it's a site-by-site or it's division-by-division way of thinking here, because these are very high-cost engagements, because the reality is, you know, manufacturing IT is a skill set that's dwindling, just largely due to plant closures and baby boomers retiring. Consulting skills are, you know, the engineering skills are pretty scarce and come at a high cost. And, you know, companies can't afford that, especially if they're going to get trapped in lengthy projects where, you know, sometimes you may have, you know, $1 million over a year budget for this. 3 years later, you've got the project done. You're well over budget. The project champion has moved on, and there's no real way to really accelerate this. What we've talked about with our clients a lot is an approach called Manufacturing 2.0, which is really a next-generation manufacturing model that focuses on, you know, ways to make these applications much more simplified in terms of deployment. And when you think about some of the ways to simplify deployment, you know, whether it's wizard-driven or whether it's even using web services to simply start driving some of these integrations between the plant and the enterprise. I'll tell you, we did some work a couple of years ago of around 200 companies, and 70% of those companies actually said they prefer to have a single integrated solution for managing their manufacturing capabilities. Those are saved companies, though, that helped us unearth those hurdles I mentioned earlier around ERP integration.
And finally, have software vendors reacted to the growing interest in MES ERP integration in a way that you expected? Do you see any overarching trends in the products that are out there to meet MES ERP business requirements?
I think they've definitely, if anything, I think the market's reacted quite well. I mean, if we go back, I think, to about 2004, 2005, you know, SAP started evangelizing S95 integrations then. And I think some of the acquisitions they made revitalized the market. You will see a lot of the ERP vendors in general talking about manufacturing more. You know, Oracle's got a strong library of capabilities as well. Then you start thinking about some of the MES vendors themselves. I mean, these folks are, I think, are it's a challenging sell. And I think right now in the economy, it's an even tougher sell. But several of these vendors have flourished the past couple of years. To be honest, I, as an analyst, I don't think I've ever been more busy in my life, because a lot of our clients are looking at manufacturing as a real strategic node and the ability to link demand fulfillment and product supply together. And, you know, they can't ill afford to leave it as an untapped investment or an untapped area. It's something that we're seeing a lot of interest in. So the vendors right now are in a very tough spot because, given where the economy is, finding the appropriate price points or even finding the appropriate budget can be a challenge. But the reality is companies are being very cautious in their investments, but they're also looking to make these investments in manufacturing. So I think we're probably going to see some shakeup in the vendor community. We're going to see some shakeup in the market in general. But I don't think it's anything that was unplanned or unexpected.
Great. Well, thank you again, Simon.
Oh, my pleasure.
This concludes our podcast on how to plan an MES ERP integration project. Thank you for joining us and have a great day.